welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. And I'm with Rob Lederer, Executive Director of the Electronic Industry Citizenship Coalition. And we're at Innovation Forum's Business and Modern Slavery Conference at the Pew Center in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you.
EICC is launching a new Responsible Labor Initiative. What is that precisely, and what are the challenges that you're trying to address?
You know, there's been no higher priority, certainly within the world of EICC over the last several years, than to try to address proactively the issue of forced labor. It started in late 2014 when the Department of Labor with the Verité partnership developed the report that sort of focused on the importance and the severity of forced labor, and it specifically highlighted electronics industry as a player in sort of facilitating forced labor. And so it was a major wake-up call to us as an industry. Since that point in time, we've been working on things like our code of conduct, not allowing for worker fees, no passports, written contracts in the sending country, and some of the many tools that we think were essential to dealing with the topic of forced labor. The reality of it is there's nothing unique to forced labor in the electronics industry. If you're in the manufacturing industry, if you deal with foreign migrant workers, there's more than likely a forced labor situation that you'll run into. And so the reality is, while we've done a lot of work in the electronics industry, our role and our responsibility is to help export those learnings, those findings to multi-industries, to bring multi-industries together to deal with the industry in a meaningful way. And that's the reason that we're launching the Responsible Labor Initiative, to bring multi-industries together.
So is that, as far as you're concerned, the next step, bringing other industries together to deal with these matters more forcefully?
We do. You know, the reality is, if you look at the employment agency industry, that they don't have agencies that are unique to providing workers just to the electronics industry. And what we don't want is a situation where we develop protections within the electronics industry, and then they continue to put people in a forced labor situation in other industries. And so as we've gone through this process, and once we got our act together, we realized that the series of tools that we're making available to our industry, we need to export to other industries so that we can really make an impact on the issue.
Okay, so but why are you launching it now? Why is now the time to push forward?
It's a sequence issue. You know, our tools, we've been working on this for about a year and a half. Our portfolio of what we call the due diligence tools is now available and been developed and been piloted and available to our member companies. And so now the timing is really just the awareness and the availability of the tools that we can package and now make it available to anybody that deals with forced labor.
Okay, so the initiative is really sharing the tools, the things that you've learned in your industry to your other industries. So how are you going to gauge success then of this new initiative?
That's a great issue. We're a member organization, so many times you sort of use the benchmark of how many companies come to the table. So certainly that will be one, very consistent with other business models that we have in EICC. Companies don't have to join EICC to gain access to the Responsible Labor Initiative. They can just join the initiative directly. We have a very similar business model in the Conflict-Free Sourcing Initiative in the area of conflict minerals, where we've got 2/3 of our members in that initiative are not in the electronics industry. They're outside the electronics industry, but they come to the table to use the tools to address their due diligence responsibilities. And so we're following that same model.
More generally, we've been talking today about the challenges of engaging at scale with supply chains. How is the EICC addressing this challenge?
If you look at the very fundamental organization of EICC, we represent the entire supply chain. So at the very top, we've got the brands, the contract manufacturers, the component manufacturers, and then, as I shared a few minutes ago, through our conflict-free sourcing initiative, we actually go all the way down to the mines in many cases. And we think that's really important to be able to move the needle on an issue, that whatever you come up with, you have to find a way to be able to pass it down through the supply chains and the multiple tiers. And so that's sort of a fundamental principle of EICC. We want to collect, in many cases, the way the EICC became successful is we collected a lot of the brands and the leading companies, and then they push it down through their supply chains. And that's sort of a fundamental principle of the RLI as well.
What else are the focuses of your work at EICC at the moment? Obviously, you've got your new initiative, and I imagine that's taken some time to bring together. But what's going to be next for you?
That's a great question. I mean, every year we do what we call a sensing survey, and it's our way to proactively look for what are the emerging issues that are going to impact our member companies. And that really keeps us on the cutting edge. Quite frankly, if you go back to 2014, we were caught off guard by forced labor. And it was a real wake-up call, both to us as an organization, as an industry, that we don't want to be in a reactive mode. We want to be in a proactive mode. And the work of the RLI is a proactive response to forced labor after the fact, after it became a big deal, and that's what we don't want. So our new initiatives that we're working on, certainly the Responsible Labor Initiative, were just launched this last year, Responsible Minerals Initiative, that goes beyond just the typical Dodd-Frank 3 T's and G on other minerals like cobalt and mica and issues like that. It'll be a very similar business model to the RLI, where companies can come to the table, whether they're EICC members or not, to deal with the expanded list of raw materials. So raw materials, responsible labor through the Forced Labor Initiative. We've been very active on the environmental side, which we really started out in sort of what I call the social side of things, the labor side. And it's been in the last 2 years that we've really aggressively taken a look at things like chemical management and recycling and circular economies. And so those are sort of the issues that we're really focusing on in 2017, 2018.
It's interesting you said that people were caught off guard as regards modern slavery. Supply chains have been examined for years now. Why do you think that people were caught off guard on this issue?
I think it's like many issues. The actors change as people get smarter. If you look at our code of conduct, A1 of our code of conduct is freely chosen employment. So the topic of forced labor was the number one priority of EICC going all the way back to 2004. And our first code said you couldn't charge an unreasonable fee to the workers. That worked in the early days. And people used their judgments. And then that wasn't good enough. And so when we started to change our code in 2014, just before the Department of Labor report, we were going to change it to you couldn't charge any more than 30 days of fees to workers, because the actors had changed, the employment agencies had changed their practice, and we thought that additional direction was needed. And then the Department of Labor report came out, and that was not a leading position anymore. And so I think we were probably the first industry, still unique to this day, that came out and said zero fees. Mm-hmm. And so we changed our code of conduct to said our members could not charge workers any fees. So you see the evolution of an issue like that, and it has to do with the actors got smarter, the issues got more sophisticated, the NGO community got more focused on it, the news media got focused on it, and we had to be proactive. It's the reason our code of conduct, we change every 3 years to make sure that it's constantly a fluid document. And forced labor is a perfect example of that.
And do you want to always be at the cutting edge then? Is it the drivers behind your organization is, you know, we're always going to be where the best practice is?
Yeah, absolutely. And if we don't, then somebody else will. That's the value add we bring to our members. If you look at our sensing exercise and you think about it in a four-box quadrant, the bottom is the issues that just are raising, kind of coming to the forefront. We want to make sure that we're dealing with them down there before they ever become, I call it a house on fire or a critical issue where it's impacting our members' brand. And it's in the newspapers. It's impacting workers. So our whole philosophy, and forced labor was a major game changer for us, is to always be on the leading edge of those. We want to have our tools developed before an issue and our members get confronted with it. And so that's our challenge, is to identify them very early on, assemble the best minds, develop the due diligence tools, and then proactively make them available.
And I guess it's a big challenge for you. If you stay, you're going to be on the leading edge, and you have to be.
Absolutely.
Because everyone will be on your back if you're not. You mentioned Dodd-Frank. Do you think there's a danger that the Dodd-Frank Act is going to be repealed?
Yeah, if you're following the issue, there's a good likelihood. We don't have any inside information to know if it will or won't. The House has now passed their version of it, and it's going over to the Senate, so we'll see what happens. But here's the story that we tell, and this is really important, I think, as you look at an issue like that. Our industry came together and developed a due diligence tool through the Conflict-Free Sourcing Initiative, a way for our members to transparently figure out where their minerals are coming before Dodd-Frank ever got passed. And so when Dodd-Frank got passed, the reason that initiative now is as large as it is it already was in place. The tools were already there. So we became the solution for Dodd-Frank. We believe this with our members, but we tell everybody, if Dodd-Frank goes away tomorrow, the responsible companies are still going to do the responsible thing. They're still going to have a responsible sourcing program. They're still going to need due diligence tools. They still need to map their minerals. And so whether it goes away or doesn't, and as we all know, the European Union through and the European Commission have introduced their own legislation, which will take effect in 2021. We have spent a great deal of time in China. In fact, we just came back from China last week, and we're working with the Chinese government on their version of Dodd-Frank. And so, you know, you almost get to a point where the legislation, you know, solution or the need for legislation becomes secondary because the industry fills the void and steps into the leadership void for that. And that's what groups like EICC are all about.
Sure. So, I mean, while your industry has a global supply chain, it also has a global, it's selling globally. So therefore, it has to conform with where the legislation is on a world basis rather than just simply in the US.
Yep.
Okay. Are you seeing companies more willing to collaborate? We've been talking today about some of the kind of, you know, real challenges around collaboration. Your organization is set up to facilitate collaboration. Are you seeing companies being more willing to do so?
Yeah, we are. It's the core value of EICC. I mean, it got started with 11 or 12 companies or very early on that said, boy, we need to be a leader in corporate social responsibility. And so a collected group of like-minded companies. And that's what's driven EICC to this day. We've gone through explosive growth, but it's because more and more companies are understanding the need for responsible sourcing. More and more companies are understanding the need for due diligence tools, and they're looking for ways to do it collectively as opposed to individually. And we often say that vibrant organization does collectively what individual companies need, but they can't do on their own. And that's a benchmark that we use against everything that we do. And so the more those tools, the more the knowledge of the importance of corporate responsibility, the more companies come together. Through CFSI, we've got 350 member companies now, which only one third are electronics companies. Now the Responsible Labor Initiative, the Responsible Minerals Initiative. So we're seeing more and more companies thirsty for knowledge and understand the need to protect their reputation, to protect their brands, to do the right thing in responsible sourcing. So more now than ever.
Okay, great. Well, we have been talking about some really serious and challenging issues today. It's great that there are some potential solutions on the horizon and being debated, at least your Responsible Labor Initiative. Rob Lederer from EICC, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.